Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Nash, joining you here to talk about the Stars' 4-2 loss to the Chicago Blackhawks on Tuesday. The Stars fall in what was essentially a one-goal game. Patrick Kane, empty netter with about 30 seconds left, sealed it for the Blackhawks, but ended in a close game. Wasn't close for a lot of it. Today's show, we're going to break down the loss, talk about were the Stars bad or were the Stars unlucky. It was kind of a weird game. The goals for the Blackhawks were kind of interesting. They weren't necessarily massive defensive breakdowns or anything like that. So we'll talk about that, talk about the Stars' loss, talk about Thursday. The Stars play Chicago again Thursday, and the impact of all this on the Central Division standings. Let's go ahead and dive right in, though, to this loss. Of course, the Stars do lose 4-2 to Chicago in Chicago. They're now 1-2-2 against the Blackhawks this season. It's the first game they've played against them in Chicago. First time on the road, and the Stars were searching for a win that could have pulled them within 1 point of Chicago in the Central Division standings. Unfortunately, they fall further behind fifth place and fourth place, for that matter, in the division. The Stars now 13-14-10 on the season. Chicago 18-17-5. The Blackhawks got the scoring going in the first period. Kirby Dach, 12 minutes, 13 seconds in on a 2-on-1 breakaway. Nice feed from Patrick Kane, just a little lobbed kind of saucer pass to a cutting Kirby Dach that opened the scoring at 1-0, and it was actually the second time that Chicago had put the puck in the back of the net. They had a goal early in the game, those two combining Dach and Kane earlier in the first period, just actually about a minute and 5 seconds in. That goal was disallowed after a review for offside, but they combine later in the period to make it a 1-0 Chicago lead. Then the Chicago attack on in the second period, about halfway through the second period, another 2-on-1. This time Dominik Kubalik on a feed from Hinnis Stroza made it 2-1, or probably 2-0 Chicago. Another 2-on-1 breakaway. And then Alex DeBrincat on a turnover in the Stars zone with 55 seconds left in the period made it 3-0 Chicago. Stars would get a goal early in the third period. Andrew Cogliano on the shorthanded opportunity about a minute and a half into the third period. Cogliano made it 3-1 in favor of the Blackhawks, cut the lead to 2. Stars would get a second goal, Radek Fox on a rebound off the inboards with about 6 minutes to play, made it 3-2. Chicago, the Stars looking like they may have a rally in them late, but that was all sealed off. I said about 30 seconds on the Kane empty net. It was about 7 seconds, a little bit off there. But Patrick Kane, with about 7 seconds left, gets the empty netter, seals the win for the Blackhawks. Stars lose 4-2. The Blackhawks outshoot the Stars 28-27 in this one. They win the faceoff percentage 56-44. Stars were just 44% of the faceoffs win. Stars go 0-2 on the power play. They do go 3-3 on the penalty kill, though. Stars out hit the Blackhawks, but in the end, it was not enough. And this loss does mean that the Stars fall a little bit further behind in the playoff race in the Central Division. Stars now in 7th. They went into the night in 6th, even on points with the Columbus. But the Columbus Blue Jackets beat the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. So Columbus jumps them in the standings. They're up to 6th on 38 points. 41 games played. Stars with 4 games in hand still on Columbus, but they're now 2 points back of the Blue Jackets. Chicago stays in 5th. They open up a further gap on the Stars, now a 5-point gap, still 3 games in hand for the Stars. And then the Stars now 7 points back of a playoff spot, still 3 games in hand on Nashville, who knocked off the Detroit Red Wings tonight. And you know, this is it feels kind of like beating a dead horse, but this is the reality of this year, is that every game is so critical. The Stars, and you know, you look at a night like tonight, the Stars are trying to chase down a playoff spot. You know, not only were they in a 4-point swing with Chicago, where a win against Chicago means they jump, you know, they come within a point of Chicago, a loss means they're 5 points back in Chicago, but it also turns into a 4-point swing with Nashville, because Nashville is playing on the same night the Stars are. For the most part, these teams are playing on the same night. So, you know, you win, you at least minimum you keep pace with the playoff team, and if Nashville had lost, you gain 2 points. But in this scenario, the Stars lose, Nashville wins, they drop 2 points further out of a playoff spot. And it's the dynamics of this season make it so it makes it tough to go on a run. And yet it makes it easier to go on a run. We saw what Nashville did, this 8-2-0 stretch that they're on. They went on a run really, really quickly. If you put together a good stretch, you can catapult in the standings because you're 4-point swings against every team you're playing. And if you're winning 8 of 10 games, that's a massive, massive swing in your favor. At the same time, when you're struggling to string together wins, that mountain seems so insurmountable because you close the gap. The Stars feel like they've done really good work. Not really good. Good work here over the past week or so, couple of weeks. And they've played better hockey. They've picked up some nice wins. They got back-to-back wins, one against Nashville, one against Carolina. They've started to kind of claw back, and they get this gap down. They had it down, down to 5 points, that they were out of a playoff spot. They were 3 points out of fifth. And then, boom, just like that, one loss, and it's gone, and you're back to where you were, a couple of weeks ago, back to what feels like square one. And so it's got to be a mentally weird thing for the team because, like I say, you win a string of games, you have a hot week, you win three in a row, and especially where the Stars, like this week, their next three games are one against Chicago, one against Florida, one against Nashville. Say they win those three games, that's 4-point swings against Chicago, 4-point swing against Nashville. They're picking up minimum 2 points this week on each of those teams. And so it's one of those things that can really change the dynamic of the playoff race. Same thing, though. They have a bad week. They have a bad week. Say they win tomorrow, but they drop the next two games. They go, 1-3 in this little stretch. They fall, almost to an insurmountable amount out of the playoffs. They're talking about they could be 9-11 points out of a playoff race here by the end of the week. And so I think it's got to be so weird for players and for coaches to kind of keep motivated, because when you're constantly playing these same teams over and over again, and you look at the standings and you go, it feels like any progress, any minor, momentum that we're building can be immediately undone by just a couple of bad performances. And unfortunately, the Stars are a team where they're just getting more duds than they are winners, right? They're struggling. They're 3-4-3 in the last 10. It feels like they've played better hockey and they've been closer. They got a couple of nice wins, but at the end of the day, they've still only won 3 of 10. And so you look at that playoff gap and you go, okay, Chicago's been sliding, but now this 4-point gap, all the progress that's been made by just, being marginally better than Chicago over the past couple of weeks is undone in a night where, like we said, we're going to answer the question, were they bad or were they unlucky? It was a tough loss for the Stars. And now they're looking back in and they're going 5 points out of fifth, 7 points out of fourth. And you're talking about 19 games if you're the Stars left in the season. 16 if you're Nashville and Chicago. We're in the final month. We're headed to the final. We're just outside the final month of the season. Trade deadlines in less than a week. The hill once again looks huge, and it's hard not to be hyperbolic about how the season is, because we could go flash forward to Thursday, say the Stars go out and trounce Chicago, maybe probably unlikely, but say they go out 4-1 win against Chicago, boom, they're 3 points back to Chicago, they're feeling good. Maybe Detroit gets an upset over Nashville, they're back to 5 points with Nashville, feeling good. You start to look to the weekend, they face Nashville, maybe they can sneak an upset against Florida, boom, they're right back in it. And so it's hard not to be hyperbolic, because one night really can change how the playoff race looks drastically, because everything's a head-to-head. And where it differs from previous seasons, obviously the Stars were playing Central Division opponents regularly, right? You play these Central Division teams regularly. But there's also, you're not getting as many tough, meaningful games. You get some games against some teams that aren't very good and are out of your division, right? So not only is it a chance to maybe pick up 2 quick points, but it also, a loss isn't necessarily going to kill you, because it doesn't benefit them. It only goes down as it only affects you a little bit in the standings. Whereas now a loss to Chicago, obviously it always is a division loss, but a loss to Chicago now is that, is a gap separator, and it really shifts how you feel about the Stars night in, night out. And that's why this season's been such a weird roller coaster. And it's why I think we've perceived, I've been perceiving the Stars to have been playing better. And now you sit there tonight and go, okay, were they really playing better? Because they're not really making up any ground, even though it felt like they had here over the past couple of weeks. Let's step aside real quick. We'll talk about this game a little bit more and talk about, were they bad or were they unlucky? The Stars were beaten, but it was kind of the first couple of goals for Chicago. I want to break those down. There's a couple of breakaway goals. We'll talk about that right around the corner. Before we step aside, there's an ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models out there. With all these vehicle makes and models, it's impossible for a traditional chain storefront to store all the parts that you need in their store. You go there, the guy behind the counter asks you a bunch of questions about the details of your car and things that you don't necessarily know off the top of your head. You shouldn't have to know these things. You can go to rockauto.com right now, at home and in your pocket, and avoid all of this. Rockauto.com is family-owned. They've served auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake lamps to, brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and while you're there, write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. All right, let's dive into this game. This loss a little bit deeper. The Stars lose 4-2. It was 4-2 is a little misleading, as most empty net games with empty net goals at the end are. It was a closer game in terms of on the ice. It was a bigger game. It was a 3-goal margin at one point for the Stars going into the third period. But at the same time, one goal was probably a more appropriate, I think, evaluation of how this game ended. Than the 2-goal margin, but the Stars did go down 3 goals in the second period, entered the third period down 3, got a couple of goals, Andrew Coghlan and Radek Foxa both contributing, but the Stars unable to complete the comeback, and so they fall 4-2 to the Blackhawks. Now, I want to talk about the Blackhawks' first couple of goals, and just kind of dive in, were the Stars bad or were the Stars unlucky? Because I think on the surface, a surface goes two ways, right? It's the same old, same old. Right, the Stars struggle early, go behind, turn it on late, not enough in the tank. It's one of the two. There's two stories. It's that story, or the Stars great early, get a goal lead, but don't have as much of a lead as they should have. They sag off, they give up a goal, or maybe a couple of goals, fall behind, either lose in regulation, goes to OT, and they lose in OT. Those are kind of the narratives for the Stars. So I think on the surface, you either go that direction, or maybe you're trying to think a little bit deeper about it. You go, okay, 2 breakaway goals. You know, unlucky. The first one was after some decent offensive pressure. It was a chance for the Stars. He just bounces into a Blackhawks breakaway, and then it's Patrick Kane and Kirby Dach, who are obviously both really good players. And when they're 2-on-1, it's just a tough situation. It took a great pass from Patrick Kane and a nice move to get on the backhand from Dach to score the goal. Maybe a little unfortunate. Go to the second goal. Stars with some fantastic pressure. They have a couple of really nice chances, including one shot that hit the post. And in trying to hold the zone, a puck just deflects off of a stick, kind of flutters out into the neutral zone. John Klingberg was the only man back. It drops right for the Blackhawks, and it turns into a 2-on-1 where Dominik Kubalik finishes it off with a really, really nice shot. And so you go, okay, the first 2 goals were breakaway goals after the Stars had some sustained offensive zone pressure. So were they unlucky in those happening? And, you know, this is how I evaluate it. I think they were unlucky in the way in which the pucks broke to drop for those 2-on-1s. Those pucks just as easily could have stayed in the zone, could have deflected to a Stars player, created a chance. You know, it was some unfortunate, I guess, breaks and bounces for Dallas. But in the end, there's still this element of the Stars just struggling to have all parts of their game operating at the same time, all facets of their game operating at the same time. You know, earlier in the year it was goaltending. You know, Anthony Dobin was struggling. The Stars were, the Stars were not being necessarily helped by the performance of some of their goalie work, and you know that hurt the Stars. So even when they did produce goals, they were giving up goals at a high clip, or you know, some of it was that. But now it's the goaltending's been really phenomenal the past 3 games. Jay Condra had another really good game. You know, the 2 2-on-1s, and then the third goal was just a gorgeous shot from DeBrincat on a turnover deep in the Stars zone. None of the goals really on Jay Condra. And you know, so the goaltending's been really, really good. You go to the games against Carolina. Jay Cottinger was phenomenal in both those games. Put up career nights in both those games. And so, the struggles have shifted from there to, you know, different areas of the team, and it's still this kind of feels like there's this lack of focus with the Dallas Stars. They struggle to keep their keep their eye on the prize, I guess, and they get focused on small elements of the game, small passages of play, and it takes away their focus from the bigger picture. And I think when you look at those two breakaway goals, yes, they were a little bit unlucky in how they broke, and yes, they came despite, you know, against the run of play in that little passage of play. But there's still an element of the Stars. Like, I look at the second goal, right? The Stars had some really, really nice pressure, some good forechecking. They created a couple of turnovers. At the same time, the Stars never really had this the setup sustained zone time. They sustained the attack, but it was a lot of, you know, drive-by opportunities. There wasn't a whole lot of get our defenseman at the point, get somebody in front of the net, work the puck around with everybody in position and generate shots. It was a lot of drive-bys, quick turnover, throw it on net. And while those are good and those do create goals, and the Stars have shown that they create goals, they also tend to leave you out of position at times. And that's what happened, right? The Stars were out of position. Defenseman pinches in. And in the second goal's case, it was Miro Heiskanen pinched in. He was very, very active in the attack during this shift. He pinches in. The forwards get trapped. The Stars get three guys trapped on the same sidewall. They've got one forward kind of sitting in the center of the ice in the slot, you know, waiting for something to come to him. And then John Klingberg now has to drop deep and kind of drop into the neutral zone. And he's the last line of defense. So the Stars get so focused, I think, on that passage of play, where it was a good passage of play. It was a great opportunity for the Stars. But they get so focused on that, on keeping that going, because they haven't sustained a lot of zone time in the game, that they get caught in the three players right in the same area. And it wasn't deep in the zone, right? It's one thing if you get a couple of players trapped deep in the zone fighting for a puck. That happens all the time. It's normal. This was up the half wall, up the side wall a little bit. This was heading towards the blue line. And so it was in the top of the, you know, a little bit towards the top of the zone, where a puck squirting loose, a bad deflection, punishes you a lot more than if it happens, you know, past the icing line, right? If it happens behind the net and it squirts out and you get trapped, you got a chance to get guys back, and they can slow things down. This situation, they get so focused and they're trying to win the puck back in that situation to create something, because they're down 1-0, that they need to get back in the game. That three guys got trapped, two forwards and Miro Heiskanen get trapped fighting for a puck that they're not able to hold the zone on. It skips away from those three, and now it's a 2-on-1, because the Blackhawks are waiting for that puck to squirt out, right? They're not in a bad position because everything's so concentrated on that sidewall that the Blackhawks defenders aren't committed to coming over and staying with a Stars forward, a Stars defenseman, a Stars attacker, right? John Klingberg's really the only one in danger. They got one in the slot, but no puck is redirecting from there to the slot. So it's really just don't let them get the puck to John Klingberg, so they can kind of camp and just cut that out, that pass or that deflection, cut that off. And John Klingberg's got to drop deeper into the neutral zone, because he is, if he wasn't, then it's a 1-on-none, right? Or 2-on-none, because there was nobody there. And that's where I think they struggle a little bit in these small passages of play, where they got, even tonight, they got a little bit of momentum. They had a shot go off the post. They got a couple of chances, but they never took the time to set it up and create the momentum. It was just these drive-by attempts, you know, forecheck, turnover, shoot, forecheck, turnover, shoot. And while those work and those create goals, they also lead to situations where you get caught forechecking so hard and trying to sustain your zone time just on your forecheck, that you get caught out in some other aspects of the game. And this is what happened. So I think that's the issue. And that's why I hesitate to say they were just unlucky in this one, is because I think they got caught in a situation that was avoidable if they can just sustain the zone, right? If they can hold the zone in possession of the puck rather than, you know, shot, take it, and then try to take away on the rebound. If they can sustain the zone, offensive zone time, by in possession of the puck, I don't think they get caught out like they have. And they get caught out a lot, it feels like. And I think that's a common theme. It's just not quite reading the situation and not being able to control, truly be in control of the game. Even when the Stars have a lot of chances in quick succession, it doesn't ever feel like they're in control. It feels like they're just kind of benefiting from a little bit of chaos, right? And so I think that's something that the Stars need to work on, and I think that's where the lack of focus showed up tonight. I've talked about the lack of focus on the podcast. I think that's where it showed up tonight, was in those couple of breakaway chances. And here, look, it cost you the game, right? Those two goals are the difference in this one. And credit the Blackhawks, those were good opportunities. And you know, different parts of the game, Blackhawks were the better team in this one. But in the end, it's those couple of situations right there leads to a couple of breakaways, 2-on-1, boom, you're down 2-0. And that's a huge hole for Dallas to come out of. Then they turn the puck over in their own zone, make a mistake there, easy goal for Alex DeBrincat. And now the Stars are trying to come out of a 3-goal deficit, which is just tough for any team, but especially for the Stars team as they are right now, really, really tough situation for them to climb out of. Let's step aside real quick when we come back. Keep talking about the game. I want to talk about John Stevens' quotes. He was, of course, the acting coach today. Rick Bowness still not cleared to return, although he did have a negative test, waiting on the results of a second negative, hopefully second negative, so he can return. But he made some interesting note. He made some quotes that I think could, hopefully, light a bit of a fire under this team, and maybe hearing it from a different person in public, you know, to the media, maybe that can light a little bit of a fire for the team. Before you step aside, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but the NBA and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers the awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, be a waiver wire winner with the daily fantasy hockey advice from the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long dynasty and DFS leagues. Build the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Wrapping up this episode, I just want to make note of this quote from John Stevens, who's acting head coach for the team tonight. In the absence of Rick Bowness, who of course had to exit Sunday's game against Carolina between the second and third periods due to COVID protocols, the Stars were saying that it was hoping it was a false positive. He has tested negative, and they're waiting on another test, but he was not available tonight, so it was John Stevens behind the bench. And this is a quote, Saad Youssef of The Athletic tweeting this out: "Jake Oettinger was our best player tonight. Our second best player was Kelly Forbes." Kelly Forbes, of course, the replay, video replay coach. I actually don't even necessarily know what his title is. King of the video replay challenges. That's what his official title is, that I'm making it right now. But Kelly Forbes, who we know has a very, very successful track record in challenging calls and making the decision to challenge calls and winning challenges for the Stars, was instrumental in this one as well. The Stars were in danger of going down 1-0 about a minute into this game. It was a challenge from the coaching staff, from Kelly Ford, video coach. He's the video coach for the Stars. That's the official title. I never know that, because I just kind of think of him as the challenge guru. He's the challenge guru. They challenged the goal. It is disallowed for offsides, and it was a really tricky offsides, and that the Blackhawks were entering the zone. It was Kirby Dach, I believe, had the puck on his stick, was in possession in the neutral zone, was looking to enter the zone, and he was still in possession of the puck, but he skated into the zone. The puck was still in the neutral zone, and he had come off of his stick. So it was one of those weird things where he was kind of still in possession, but he wasn't really in control of the puck. When he entered the zone, he was clearly in the attacking zone. Ruled offside. Stars win the challenge. That's a big thing for Dallas, because that would have put them, you know, obviously they ended up losing anyways, but it put it behind the eight ball about 60, 65 seconds into the game, which would have been a really, really tough pill to swallow. But the comment itself, I think, is really interesting, because the way I interpret it is, That is a kind of a brutal assessment from John Stevens of the game, right? Jake Oettinger was our best player tonight, and I don't see any issue with that. I think that's true. I think he's been the Stars' best player for about 3 games in a row now. He's been phenomenal on this stretch. Yes, he gave up 3 goals. No, they were not really his fault. 2 2-on-1s and then a turnover in his own zone where DeBrincat gets basically to come in and take an open shot. So he stopped 24-27, but I thought he was very, very good tonight. Stott made a lot of big saves, and he stoned Patrick Kane on a one-timer from basically the slot just to his left. Was able to catch it. I thought he was good tonight, but then to say that Kelly Forbes was the second best player, basically saying Kelly Forbes had the second most positive impact on the team because of the challenge, is kind of a brutal assessment for players. And I think this is kind of the wake-up call, right? There's not enough players impacting the game in a positive way. There's a lot of I don't want to say passengers, but you hear that a lot, right? A lot of passengers that are just kind of there for the ride, right? They're in the game. They're on the ice. The stat sheet will show that they had time on ice. They generate, you know, maybe took a shot on goal. Maybe had a hit. You know, maybe you're a plus one, right? But there's not a whole lot of people going in and making an impact, making a mark on the game. We saw Jimmy Benn try to do it a little bit in the second period. He started throwing the body around a few shifts in a row, you know, kind of ramped up the energy. But until late in the game, there was a lot, you know, it just felt like there was a lot of players, I guess, kind of going through the motions of it all, right? There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, trying things, a lot of creativity, a lot of I'm going to do everything in my power in this 30, 45, 60-second shift, whatever it was, to make a positive impact on this. It was kind of just passing, you know, to get out there. You know, don't screw up, pass it along to the next guy. And you know, that's how I interpret the quote. I don't know if that's how he intended it, but that's how I interpret it, right? If I'm a player and I read that, I go, okay, Jake Ottinger, yeah. And then it was a coach, right? He was the next biggest impact on the game was our video coach because he challenged a goal and got it overturned. And that's an indictment on the players and what we've seen from them in terms of performance. They got to turn it around, right? They're back at it against Chicago on Thursday. They absolutely have to win this game. They can't fall 7 points behind Chicago. And Nashville plays Detroit again. Very, very likely Nashville beats Detroit. You lose Thursday. You're 7 points behind the Blackhawks in fifth, 9 points out of a playoff race, 9 points out of a playoff spot with less than 20 games to go. That's not a hill that I am comfortable seeing the Stars try to overcome. They gotta keep pace when they can. And in these head-to-heads, they have to win these head-to-heads. They need to win this game against Chicago on Thursday. Quick note, Anton Udobin is back. Has come back from COVID protocol, health and safety protocols. Did not play though. Jake Ottinger got the start, which was understandable. He was phenomenal against Carolina, so understand why he got the start. But we might see Anton Udobin on Thursday. Would not be a surprise. Alexander Radulov still not with the team on the trip. The other injuries, you know, still are there. Jason Dickinson didn't play tonight. You know. The Stars are in, you know, the Stars are in a weird spot where they've got the excuses. It's a matter of, are they going to use the excuses or are they going to play in spite of the excuses, right? They've got the excuses built in. It's just, are they going to be able to turn it around and play in spite of the things going against them? That's good all for this episode. We'll be back tomorrow with probably a little bit of a trade deadline talk. I want to talk a little trade deadline. We're less than a week away. It snuck up on us pretty quickly. Mike Hike, I know, answered a couple questions, so we'll talk about his answers to those and just a little trade deadline talk here. The Locked On Stars podcast. But until then, enjoy your day, and we will talk to you soon.
You're Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.